Hello and good morning. Welcome to a second special episode of the Any Three Things podcast. This is Father Ambrose coming to you this morning, and you could say that these special episodes are mainly because I failed to get a podcast guest, and this is true. However, I also did this one on purpose because we just had the Archbishop's homily about the November 1 ballot initiative about the proposed amendment to the Ohio Constitution regarding abortion and air quote, you can't see me air quoting, so here, air quote, reproductive rights. And that was right long homily listening to the Archbishop, and I wanted to follow that up and talk a little bit more about that question, because the Archbishop makes it very clear in his homily that all Catholics and even all people of goodwill should oppose this amendment, that this is not good, and specifically that it is against the teaching of the Catholic Church to will the thing that this amendment does, right? So if you are to vote for this amendment, if you vote yes on Proposition 1 and confirm this amendment to the Ohio Constitution, then you are specifically rejecting the Church's teaching. And people might not agree with that. I don't know if there's any of our parishioners specifically, but just statistically, we know that there are plenty of Catholics who do not agree either that the Church teaches, or if they know that the Church teaches what the Church teaches on abortion, then they don't agree with the Church, and they reject the Church's authority on this. And so I wanted to follow up what the Archbishop said and answer specific objections that a Catholic might raise against what the Archbishop is saying, right? Archbishop says, vote no, Proposition 1. And there might be some Catholics who say, no, I don't want to vote no on Issue 1. I want to vote yes. And so I want to answer specific objections that such a Catholic might raise. And in doing this, I am speaking specifically to a Catholic audience, right? Like, I'm going to be quoting Church documents to make it clear what the Church teaches. And a non-Catholic is not necessarily going to listen to those things. So if some of your friends who are not Catholic support this proposed amendment, then the arguments that I bring up today might not be super helpful in talking to them. But for Catholics, hopefully it will be very helpful. And it'll also help develop our sense of the Church's teaching here, because the Church's teaching is not just a thing that Catholics can believe and other people not believe and have it not matter, right? The Church's teaching is the truth about the human person, because as the Second Vatican Council says in the document Gaudium et Spes, that only in Jesus Christ is the human person truly revealed to himself, that we really only understand ourselves and the right way to live and to carry out our human life in society is to be enlightened by Jesus Christ. It's really hard for us to come to the right conclusions about what's right, what's wrong on our own, but in Jesus Christ we can truly find the full truth of our humanity and the way that we should organize society. And so when the Church talks about abortion, she's not just saying, okay, this is what Catholics need to believe and other people can believe what they want. The Church is actually saying that this is the right way to organize society, and that what the Church teaches about right and wrong, if we really followed that, if everyone really believed what the Church says is right and wrong, then we would have a better society, we would be happier, and that it would be a more just and good world. And so some of these things might help someone who's not Catholic for that reason. But again, it's specifically aimed towards a Catholic person who doesn't agree with the Archbishop that you should vote no on this proposition. So let's get into these objections. I've got four potential objections here, and these are all things I've heard, not from any specific person, but just kind of in general, right? And so here's the first objection. Catholics are free to decide whether they feel abortion is right or not. You know, that sure, certain popes have said that abortion is wrong, but really it's up to each Catholic to judge in their own conscience whether abortion is right or not. And this is directly contradicted by the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2271. And that paragraph says, since the first century, the Church has affirmed the moral evil of every procured abortion. This teaching has not changed and remains unchangeable. Direct abortion, that is to say, abortion willed either as an end or a means, is gravely contrary to the moral law. And then it proceeds to quote the Didache, which is a first century, like before the year 100, collection of the teachings of the apostles. It's not in the Bible, but it's a very, very early expression of the church's morality. And that document, that ancient 2,000-year-old document, like the very first thing that we have on the Catholic Church's understanding of these kinds of things, says, you shall not kill the embryo by abortion and shall not cause the newborn to perish, right? This has always been the teaching of the Catholic Church. We have believed this the whole time, and it is not the kind of teaching that could change. This was reaffirmed at Vatican II in the document, I mentioned it before, Gaudium et Spes. Paragraph 51, that life must be protected with the utmost care from the moment of conception. Abortion and infanticide are abominable crimes. And Pope Francis recently has said multiple times that we cannot use abortion as a means to get rid of a child that causes us a problem. He's very clear on this. He talks about it like hiring a hitman to solve your problem. Like, it is just completely opposed to the thinking of the Catholic Church to say that abortion is okay. Now, I do want to be very clear what we mean here, right? The catechism language is very specific, right? It talks about a direct abortion, and what they mean by that is specifically killing an embryo, fetus, whatever word you want to use, that is alive. This is a very clear distinction in Catholic moral theology, right? There is no confusion between a miscarriage and an abortion. Some people recently have tried to create some confusion there, but if through a tragedy, medical, you know, not every pregnancy works out and not every baby is born healthy, right? And so in the case of a miscarriage, this is not in any way, shape, or form the kind of abortion that the church is talking about here. They're talking about a direct abortion, which is a specific decision to kill an embryo that is living. And that is always wrong. It is gravely contrary to the moral law, and Catholics are not free to decide for themselves about this. This has been handed down to us by the church as the teaching of God himself on the value and dignity of human life. And we'll talk more about what that means as we address the next couple potential objections, but just to answer this one very specifically, right, the church has taught consistently for 2,000 years in an unchanging way that a direct abortion is gravely contrary to the moral law and is never good and never permissible. Next potential objection, number two. We personally believe as Catholics that abortion is wrong, but we shouldn't legislate that, right? We live in a society that has separation of church and state. We're not going to go and make laws saying you have to come to Catholic Mass on Sundays. And so in the same kind of way, we shouldn't make laws that tell other people to follow our religious rules. And to answer this objection, I think we have to understand that there's different kinds of Catholic teaching, and the church teaches things in different ways, right? Another example is the church's rules on marriage. We would not say that every single person who wants to get married has to have a Catholic wedding, right? No, Jewish people can have a Jewish wedding. Atheists can go before a justice of the peace, and all of those are good marriages. We don't hold those other kinds of other people of other religions to those kinds of religious rules, but abortion is not that kind of rule. It's not a rule about how Catholics are supposed to worship God. It's a rule about human morality and human society, and it's the kind of thing that is a grave evil, harms. We don't just believe that abortion is wrong for religious reasons. The church tells us that abortion is wrong because it breaks down human society in itself. And the document from the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith called Donum Vitae talks about how abortion ruptures the very fabric of society. And it's also talked about in Catechism paragraph 2273, quoting that document, Donum Vitae, that I just mentioned, that the inalienable right to life of every innocent human person is a constitutive element of a civil society and its legislation, and that these human rights depend not on single individuals, not on parents. They don't represent a concession made by society and the state. They belong to human nature and are inherent in the person by virtue of the creative act from which the person took his origin. So this right to life from conception until natural death is part of the inherent dignity of the human person given to every single person by God. And we are not free to structure society in a different way, because if we make abortion legal or euthanasia or murder, right, that this irreparably destroys the sanctity of the dignity of human life in our society. And that once we give way on abortion, then we've said, all right, this class of human persons does not deserve the protection of the law, right? An unborn child in the womb is a person. It's a human being who's alive, and every living human being is a person. Those unborn people do not deserve protection of the law. And once we split things up, right, or to continue quoting Donum Vitae, the moment a positive law deprives a category of human beings of the protection which civil legislation ought to accord them, the state is denying the equality of everyone before the law. And when the state doesn't place its power at the service of the rights of each citizen, and especially the most vulnerable, the very foundations of a state based on law are undermined. Right, and you can see this if we make an immediate connection, right? If we say that this other group of people, like, let's say, for instance, things that have happened in our real human history here in the United States of America, if people of African American descent are not worthy of the protection of the law and you can kill them without any repercussions, then it means nothing to say that we're a free country and that life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness are preserved in American law, right? No, as soon as we deny that to some specific group of people, the entire fabric of our society is wounded. It chooses some and not others. And because we believe that every single human person has that inherent dignity and that right to life, and since we believe that an unborn baby is a human person, then we can't say that you can kill them without jeopardizing the entire fabric of our society. It's very clear. And so for this reason, the church teaches not only that abortion is wrong for Catholics, but that Catholics must oppose the legislation of abortion. This is very clear. Pope Francis has been very clear on this. It's contained in all of the church documents. The Archbishop is absolutely right to uphold this because, like, what do we stand for as a church if we don't stand up for the dignity of the most vulnerable? And so this goes part and parcel with our service of the weakest, the most vulnerable, the outcasts in society. And we don't get to pick and choose which kinds of poor people, which kinds of vulnerable people that we support. Rather, Christ has called us radically to love all of those who are the least, the lost, the forgotten. And if we deny that protection to some, we deny it to others, and it's arbitrary. And we've set ourselves up as gods deciding who gets to live and who gets to die. And that's not okay. That's not consistent with either a Catholic moral theology, a Catholic vision of politics, or just a good society at all. So, for that reason, we can't hold this, like, private opinion position, right? We can't say that, oh, I personally believe that abortion is wrong, but we shouldn't legislate our morality. No, the Catholic Church says very, very clearly that Catholics must oppose the legalization of abortion. It's part of our Catholic faith to oppose legalized abortion, and it's just part of forming a good society and what the church understands society to be for. All right, that's the second potential objection. Let's take the third potential objection. So we shouldn't outlaw abortion, and instead we should try to just make sure that abortions don't happen by making contraceptives more available and providing more social support for women so that they don't need to use abortions. Right. So if you really, you hear this typically framed as if conservatives really wanted to get rid of abortions, they would pass Medicare for All and these other kinds of bills, right? So we shouldn't be, in other words, we shouldn't be outlawing abortion. We should be doing all of these other social projects, and then abortions will gradually reduce. And the first thing I want to say is, actually, I think we do need to do much more as a society for the poor and those who struggle to take care of their kids. We have an obligation as a whole society to care for the least of these. And that care for the poor includes every aspect of our life together as a society. So we need to do this individually through personal acts of charity, but we also need to structure our society legally and economically in a way that cares for the poor. And it's completely meaningless to say that we're a Christian society if our laws don't reflect that reality of our care for the poor, right? If part of being a Christian is serving the poor, taking care of people who can't take care of themselves for whatever reason, separate from moral judgments, then our laws aren't really Christian. And if we're leaving the poor to die and abandoning them and leaving mothers in a position where they can't take care of their children because of laws that are heartless, then there's no way in which we're a truly Christian society. And so I firmly agree that we need better social care for mothers and for those caring for babies, you know, since it includes, you know, fathers and grandparents, guardians, foster systems, all those other kinds of things, right? So first of all, we agree as a Catholic Church wholeheartedly with the need for better social support, but it's really dumb to view that as separate from the law that you can't just kill kids, right? Like it breaks down to saying that, well, if we can't care for these children because we don't have proper welfare structures, then we should just kill them. And that makes absolutely no sense. That is not in any way, shape, or form compassionate or supportive of a culture of life and a culture of care and love. And so then we cannot hold that position as Catholics. Like, we can't put the outlawing abortion on hold until we fixed every other social problem, because the very fabric of society that makes us a responsible moral people, a responsible moral society, then enables us to care for the lost and the least, right? We break that fabric of society by legalizing abortion. If we can just kill kids who we can't take care of, then we aren't really serving them. We aren't really caring for the poor. And the second part there, though, so we should increase access to contraceptives so that people don't need as many abortions. That also is not in keeping with Catholic teaching. The immorality of artificial contraceptives is also an ancient Catholic teaching. This is something that we have always believed. It was reaffirmed by Pope Francis in his apostolic exhortation on marriage, Amoris Laetitiae, as well as then before the document I'm going to quote here, Humanae Vitae by St. Paul VI, Pope St. Paul VI, coming out in, I believe, 1973. Doesn't have the date on it, right? Well, all right, never mind. It came out at some point. Humanae Vitae. And so there was a full scientific analysis done on the artificial contraceptives that were available at the time, and then following that, in a synod of bishops and theologians on the topic, St. Paul VI says very clearly that reaffirms that all direct abortion, even for therapeutic reasons, is absolutely excluded as a lawful means for regulating the number of children. Equally to be condemned is direct sterilization, whether of the man or of the woman, in either a permanent or temporary fashion. Similarly excluded is any action which either before, at the moment of, or after sexual intercourse is specifically intended to prevent procreation, whether as an end or as a means. And so, as a result of this, the picture of family life and parenting that the church paints is one where husbands and wives have sexual intercourse in a way that's open to children, that desires to bring children into the world, because God has called husbands and wives to participate in his own continuing creation of the human race, right? God started the human race and he continually involves us in his perpetuation of our species. And we all the animals just make babies, right? Like dogs do what dogs do, and then there's puppies. We get a conscious choice to participate with God in continuing to create the human race. And this is a beautiful gift that God gives to us. And it is contrary to this view of human life and our existence as a species is a gift from God to treat it as something that we can control and medicate and separate then the sexual activity from reproduction, which, like, it's the reproductive system. Like, that's the whole point. That's why it exists. And so it is still contrary to the church's view of society and marriage, in the same way that abortion is, to say, oh, we need to get rid of abortions by providing more contraceptives. This was like saying we need to fix this problem by causing another problem. This is not consistent with the Catholic Church's teaching on sexuality, marriage, and life. And so we can't solve one problem by increasing another. It is absolutely part and parcel of our rejection of abortion, our care for the poor, the marginalized, those who are unable to provide for themselves, to legalize abortion, increase the use of contraceptives, right? We are serving the poor rather through building a society that receives all human life as a gift from God. That's the church's position. That's what we as Catholics need to advocate for and to do in our own relationships in society so that we can bring about a more just, a more loving, a more caring society for everyone, not just for Catholics. So that's the third objection there. We can't just say, oh, get rid of abortions by contraceptions and social support. We need to do that social support, but we can't use contraceptives, and abortion is directly opposed to the kind of care and support for mothers that we want in our society. So finally, the fourth potential objection is that, okay, abortion should be illegal, but we need to pass this proposed amendment to make sure that miscarriages and ectopic pregnancies and other similar situations aren't criminalized in Ohio law. First, to briefly talk about then, so ectopic pregnancies, the church says that, so an ectopic pregnancy is when the fetus implants in the ectopic tube rather than fallopian tube, rather than in the uterus where it's supposed to. And this happens just because, as a consequence of original sin, our bodies don't work the way that they should. And we wish that every baby was born healthy, but sometimes it happens that that doesn't happen, right? And so an ectopic pregnancy, it can be, it's not ever viable. The fetus will never have the literal space to grow because those tubes can't expand like the uterus can. And also it's very dangerous to the mother because that tube can then rupture and cause all kinds of problems. And so the church says that you cannot just go kill that embryo, but you can remove that tube in order to prevent that rupture from happening. And there's a secondary result that the baby is then, like, you can't reimplant that embryo. It's a tragedy that we're not able to also save the baby, but we don't want to kill it directly. And we do want to prevent the potential death of the mother through that ectopic pregnancy, right? So the church does say that such a procedure in the case of an ectopic pregnancy is permissible. So that's the first thing. But then in a miscarriage, like I said earlier, is just not the same thing as an abortion. The baby has unfortunately already died. And so it's totally in accord with Catholic teaching to remove the body of that baby from the womb and give it a proper burial. And I remember being at the cemetery with my family when one of my younger sisters died as a result of a miscarriage. And she's got a really little grave in Gate of Heaven Cemetery down in Montgomery, and we would visit it every All Souls Day to pray for my sister. So that's totally in accord with Catholic teaching, right? And so our laws should reflect that. It shouldn't be clear that the treatment for an ectopic pregnancy or the removal of the body of a baby after a miscarriage is not the same as an abortion and should not be punished as such. And current Ohio law takes care of that. There is no need to pass Proposition 1 for these things because it's already in the legislation that we have in Ohio currently. And Ohio's abortion law is in the Ohio Revised Code, which I'm going to abbreviate ORC after this point, Ohio Revised Code, ORC 2919. And that covers all of a number of family-related laws, including incest and other things like that. But then there's a couple sections specifically on abortion, and those already have a number of specific exceptions so that we don't have to worry that a woman is going to get prosecuted because of a miscarriage. We don't have to worry that a doctor is going to get prosecuted because he took care of a woman with an ectopic pregnancy, right? Like, that's not a problem. We don't need to worry about that. And so specifically, of that section of the Ohio Revised, of the ORC 2919, section 193 defines, right, it's the heartbeat bill, and it says that if after the doctor uses the proper means to detect a heartbeat, there is no heartbeat, which is to say that the baby is unfortunately already dead, right, then that's not an abortion, and that the doctor is not liable, he's not committing the crime of an abortion because there's no living baby, there's no heartbeat, right? And so that's not a problem. Second, section 191, so 2919, section 191, restricts the Ohio abortion law to only intrauterine pregnancies, that is to say, pregnancies where the embryo has implanted in the uterus. And so an ectopic pregnancy is not criminal in Ohio's current law, so that's not a problem either. And then actually, the current Ohio law goes further than the what the church would say is permissible, right? So the church would say that an abortion for the health of the mother is still wrong, that we can give the mother any kind of medical treatment that she needs, even if there's a potential risk to the baby. Like, so for instance, a mother who has cancer, she takes chemotherapy. That might not be good for the baby in her womb, but that's okay. She can receive that chemotherapy. It's not a problem. And what might happen to the baby as a result is regrettable, and not just regrettable, it's tragic, but that's not a sin, right? But the Ohio law actually goes beyond that and says that medical emergencies where the pregnancy could cause direct and grave damage to the health of the mother, that you can do an abortion in those instances. And so actually the Ohio Revised Code already has more exceptions to the church's teaching on abortion than we're allowed to have, right? And so saying that we need to pass Proposition 1 in order for these exceptions is dumb and wrong, because those exceptions are already present in Ohio's law. It's just a completely inane objection. It doesn't make any sense because this is already covered. We don't need to worry about this. It's not a problem. And so those are four potential objections. So Catholics are not free to decide whether abortion is right or wrong for themselves. The church has taught this unchangingly. Second, we can't believe for ourselves that abortion is wrong and let society make laws differently. That's actually part of the church's teaching on abortion, that we must oppose the legalization of abortion. And Pope Francis has been especially clear on this. Third objection, we can't do other social projects and then gradually reduce abortions that way. We must oppose abortion directly. And we can't wait until we've got a social safety net and have made less abortions through contraceptions, because first of all, contraception's wrong anyway. And that project of providing care for mothers is the same project as outlawing abortion. And then finally, we don't need to pass Proposition 1 for exceptions about miscarriages and ectopic pregnancies. Those exceptions are already present in Ohio law. There's no problem. We don't need to solve a problem that does not exist, especially since trying to solve the problem that does not exist would apparently mean making a much, much worse problem. And so, there. Special episode about what Catholics believe about abortion, what some common objections Catholics might raise about this particular ballot initiative. And so just once again, I want to invite you all to join me in praying for an increased respect, love, and awe, the dignity of life that God has given to every single human person from conception until natural death. God is so good. He's given us such an incredible gift in our human life. And so we need to respect that and treasure it. And we need to beg our Lord in prayer for this, to preserve our society from unjust laws like this. And so specifically towards that end, Mary Help of Christians, one of our six parishes, now has adoration every single Monday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. And so I'd like to invite you all to that particular new opportunity for adoration to beg our Lord for defense from this unjust law. And just in general, to draw closer to Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, because he's going to transform our hearts. He is going to make our hearts more merciful, more charitable, more just like his. And it's from that fountain of love and mercy in the Eucharistic heart of our Lord Jesus Christ that we're going to build the kind of society that protects mothers, protects children, and that gives justice, liberty, and equality to all. So, thank you all so much for listening to this special episode. Please continue to keep all these things in your prayers. God bless you.